ready?
Ready for what?
You wanted to see what I do, right?
Yes. Yes, I've been watching. But, you know.
But what? Show and tell is over. The real deal is about to start.
The real deal?
Mm-hmm. Show and tell is for sissies.
Huh?
But a sissy I'm not.
That's for the distraction.
Easy.
Fire at tits. Either one will distract most cops.
You ready to finish what we started?
Julian, that was extremely dangerous, okay? Yeah, I think you proved your point.
Baloney, baloney, baloney. Come on. The cops may have gone towards the fire, but his bodyguard probably stood for...
Bodyguard?
If I'm asked to kill a person, they always have a bodyguard. If they didn't, they'd have asked you. So, I slit the guard's throat in one motion, push him into the bathroom. And now we're set up for the kill.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is apparently nobody, but this is Douglas.
This is also Douglas. Is this also Douglas?
I don't think we can handle two of them on one podcast.
Alright, then this is Damien. I'll be Damien, alright?
You'll be Damien this time around.
Fine.
Okay. Next time I'll be Damien.
Bastards.
Alright, before we get into really any podcasting business mm-hmm. that we'd usually go about, I kind of want to give this a mention, because this just happened right like around a half an hour ago on the internet. It's been announced that Community is coming back for season 4 with a 13 episode season, and I just want to give applause.
I like the show, but is that really worthy of being pointed out? It's not like God was just reborn or something.
To be fair, have you seen the Law and Order episode?
Yes, I have. That was fucking hilarious.
I think the episode from last week, the one after Law and Order, was quite a great episode, to be honest. Like, I was viewing it on the basis of Dan Harmon setting us all up for the idea that this might just get cancelled. Like, he talks about... I viewed it with him talking about so many things about his choices in what he did with the show and what might have caused it to get to the point of, yeah, we're going a bit too niche on sometimes.
Are you talking about the same show that the episode where
they've
Starburns
got kicked out of
was
Starburns died?
Yeah,
they got kicked out of school.
They got kicked out of school.
Yeah,
yeah.
At the end of the episode,
and then they're all eating pizza.
Right.
So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there about the Community renewal, because that was up in the air, and I know we're all big fans of Community.
That we are.
So unless there's anything else you guys want to say to that effect, can we get into the business?
Sure.
And the business is the business. But the business is not the business.
So what we've been watching this week, I think I want to kick it off first this week. I finally got around to watching my first ever Charlie Chaplin film, and I saw City Lights, which is, I believe, the first film he personally directed. I could be wrong about that. He plays a bum. His character title is called Tramp, but I guess that must be an old way of saying a bum back in the 30s. And he comes upon this blind girl who's selling flowers and kind of falls in love with her.
Oh, you mean the most famous one ever?
Yeah, I kind of always thought the most famous one of his was The Dictator, but maybe I'm wrong about that. The Great Dictator.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anyways, I saw City Lights and it was bloody fantastic. I'm always kind of wary going into some of the silent comedies, especially back when everything was ridiculous and slapstick and it was all about watching a guy fall down 50 times within the span of 40 minutes. But City Lights was kind of brilliant and I can't wait to watch more Chaplin at this point. Moving on. I saw The Innkeepers, which is the next film from director Ty West. We had reviewed his other film, House of the Devil. And I can't remember how we standed on that film, but I remember being positive on that one.
Yeah, I don't remember how we standed on that film either. I think where we stood was that
both
you and I loved it, and Damien not so much. I think that's where it was.
Both of the difference, which one again?
The one where this college girl goes to babysit some person off in the sticks, and it ends up that it really wasn't to babysit.
That movie sucks. No one had any room. Review that movie called What? When?
Well, all The Innkeepers is a horrible movie. It starts out with trying to be this really moody horror film about a haunted hotel, and it turns out to just be really, really boring.
You mean like House of the Devil?
I won't say that. don't watch The Innkeepers. And to end it off, I also saw Marley, the latest documentary about Bob Marley, which came out. Have you guys gotten a chance to see this movie?
This makes number 900 and something. The amount of documentaries made about Bob Marley.
Hey, all those ones for TV don't count.
Does anybody hear? Although Jamaica is 50, so why not celebrate Jamaica's 50th anniversary with a documentary about Bob Marley from people who don't live here?
Back to the question. Have either of you gotten a chance to see this film?
Nope. No. I'm not looking forward to it.
Of course not. Actually, no, there was the world premiere that
right.
was
yeah, I remember
open air screening at Emancipation Park.
And then
but
it
other
disappeared.
Than, actually, no. Actually, I forget. I'm lying. It is out here, but it's not in the theaters per se. It's actually airing at the Bob Marley Museum.
Are they charging for that?
Yeah, like $500.
Oh my god. Because you know, and
look
I think
that.
Quality television.
Story, 50th anniversary edition box set Blu-ray for $25.
You know,
not worth it.
You know what else is 50 this year? James Bond. But he's. I think the box set for that one is like $450. So broke. 22 movies. Seems fair. Right, so you said Bob Marley is a great movie, Andrew?
Yeah, I really loved the documentary. It was a well thought out film because you said it. There are a lot of documentaries about Bob Marley, but I think this one kind of stands out against the rest mainly because it doesn't necessarily talk about his music. It's all about his actual life as he progressed.
Not interested. No.
No.
No, I don't want to know about Bob Marley's life. I don't care about Bob Marley the person. That is uninteresting to me.
So,
I care about is the music.
So when you watched Senna, did all you care about were the wins?
No, I cared about what impressed me was his ability to outperform everybody. It's not Senna the person. They didn't really get into that much. It was just his work ethic as a driver. They didn't really spend time on his love life or you know, his causes or anything. They were alluded to, but 99% of the time was spent talking about how great a driver Senna was and the things that he did on the track, which were outstanding. And towards the end, they showed you how his impact just by driving around and being this, you know, this source of pride for Brazilians, how much it affected them. But it didn't really go in. It said that, you know, he was, he went out with a lot of girls and things, but that wasn't the main point. They focused on his exploits on the track. That is why I love Senna. I don't know Senna the person. They didn't really go into that, you know. They didn't go into the food that he liked or what girl he dated when, or if or when he had any children, because nobody cares. I certainly don't care. But if this is just about Bob Marley as a person, I'm not that interested. That's one of the things that I disliked about the recent Tyson documentary. They went too deep into, you know, trying to show everybody that Tyson is more than just a boxer. He is, but I don't want to hear that. That's uninteresting.
Yeah, but I found it quite interesting. I mean, maybe like one thing that I will say is that watching this documentary, I definitely didn't leave it thinking that at the end of the year I'll be calling on it again, like how I did with Senna, in being one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, or even the best documentary of this year. But it was very interesting to watch, and I wonder if you could think of it as one of those kind of documentaries that you watch and you're like, yeah, that was kind of cool, but I don't really see myself watching it again, to be honest.
Okay. I might give it a try, but honestly, I guess because I live here, maybe I'm too close to it.
Well, alright, Damien, I don't know how much you know about Bob Marley. I mean, not other than, of course, listening to the music. But yeah. If you have any shred of doubt as to any gaps you have in that knowledge, this movie does have things to show you.
Okay. Alright.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I rewatched The Apartment this week, and that's fantastic, but I don't really want to talk about that. So Douglas, what have you been watching? And okay. I'm also curious about another question. How much does it cost you every week to do the podcast? Because I'm pretty sure you're just on Amazon right now.
That's actually, you know, we should
semi-accurate.
We should definitely do some sort of research, because I never thought of it that way, but yes, it's probably quite costly. I can tell you that it just cost me about $800. So I know this is a bit of a sidetrack, but you kind of led me to this avenue. I just purchased the HTC One X.
The glorious
HTC One X. The flagship, new flagship phone from HTC.
So before you go any further, the follow-up question is, does this mean that since this cost you $800 today, that for the next like 3-4 weeks you'll actually listen to me?
No.
Because you won't be shopping on Amazon.
No, actually have no. I'm very lucky, very fortunate. I know I never used to be, but I am now at a job where I get money.
Yeah, they pay you.
So generally, when I spend money, I get it back, and then I can spend it again. So,
which is what money is for.
Yeah, that's really what it's for. So, Andrew, to answer your question, no.
But we should do some statistical research into this.
It's costing me no money, because I don't have it.
All right, anyways, Douglas, what have you been watching?
Okay, what have I been watching? I've been watching a few things. Just kind of... Last week, I more than alluded to the fact that there were a couple of movies I hadn't spoken about. One of those I mentioned, but I mentioned it, and that was Taylor Tinker Soldier Spy.
That's not the name, but that's close enough.
I don't have it written down correctly, but I didn't say it right. But yes, as you say, close enough.
Close.
Right?
Tinker, we know what Taylor. You're talking about.
That movie is... It was kind of good.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
By a couple of people.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. It's something of an all-star cast. It has the likes of Mark Strong and Gary Oldman and all sorts of...
Tom Hardy.
Yes. And, you know, even up-and-comers like Benedict Cumberbatch, who has the most awkward name.
The most awesome name.
No.
Hey, Fassbender is an awesome name.
I want a movie with Benedict Cumberbatch, Fassbender, and Tom Hiddleston all together.
That okay.
Why?
Fair enough. Cumberbatch is actually going to be in Star Trek. I didn't realize that until like last week sometime. But yes, that movie was pretty decent. It was one of those spy movies that I love because, you know, everybody can do a great spy movie that is action filled and, you know, suspense filled and like a James Bond guy walking
around. Right, where the spies are superheroes.
But what this did is this movie kind of brought you down to that level where you realize, well, spying isn't James Bond. It's very much in the mental, you know? It's very much positioning yourself politically and otherwise.
A spine is boring. It is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of nothing happening.
And can I tell you, I don't know, I haven't really read any reviews, I haven't talked to anybody about this movie, but my favorite part, and I don't know if anybody else has mentioned this, in this movie was there was a right after Gary Oldman had been reassigned, and he was in the back of a car, and this scene is almost, it's so integral, but at the same time it's almost completely unnecessary, or I shouldn't say unnecessary, but superfluous. They're just driving in a car, talking about nothing, and there's a bee buzzing in the car, and the guys in the front, you know, they're like regular people.
Mm-hmm.
They wave it off and they're like, get out of there. And Gary Oldman, whose name is Smiley in the movie, just kind of sits very calm and relaxed, watches the bee buzz and sees that it's going towards the window and just winds it down and lets him go. And I thought that was, I know a lot of people would probably be like, ah, but that's, why would you need that scene? And I thought they explained so much about Gary Oldman, about who he was supposed to be in this movie, that was just kind of like the turning point where I was like, you know, if at this point I did not think that this movie was great, they just had to cement the deal, you know? But let's move on. I also watched My Weekend with Marilyn, which was alright. I'm not going to say that it was a great movie, but
her performance is nothing short of outstanding.
Somebody really likes.
She's really good.
Michelle.
She's
you
awesome.
You didn't appreciate her performance?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
That was a good performance.
Okay. But that's
just,
all that movie hinged on her.
It really did.
Pulling off that performance.
But that was a really good movie. And I suppose it wasn't a really good movie. It had a really good role and was pretty decent. It was okay. But there's a connection between those. Truman Capote Jr. is in both of those movies. Now we get to the two big movies of the week. Two big movies of this week.
Right.
The first, I really want to leave the best one for last. But I can't, because I know that if I do, this next movie is going to cause no end of argument. So let's just get the reveal over with. I watched the last of this guy's movies that I had not seen before, which is Following.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Chris Nolan's first film. That movie's awesome.
Okay.
Him and Otto sitting there with the gun, just pulling out. He's like, "I'm going to kill
no.
him."
No. All right.
Oh, wait.
Let me explain. There are certain movies where, and there's no fear. I don't have any fear or trepidation that people won't. Like when someone says they don't like a Lars von Trier movie, I have some like I don't want to invite anybody to watch those movies for fear that they'll come back and go, "Damien, you've lost your mind. A movie's terrible." But there's movies that there's no argument to be had. There are some movies that are classics. Following is freaking awesome. There's no real conversation to be had. Another movie that Douglas refuses to watch, like Miller's Crossing. No one has ever come out and gone, you know, that Miller's Crossing movie, it's pretty meh. It's never happened. They're just great movies that everyone will enjoy. I'm just glad that Douglas has finally get. Andrew, have you seen it?
Yes, long time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I was the weakest link on that one.
Are you just in time for Dark Knight?
Yeah, too. I know, right? It was Batman on Netflix 3. Apparently. I didn't even know this. I was, can I tell you, it was this week and I've been working really hard. Like, I've been probably at home writing reports until 1 and 2 o'clock every night for the past 5 days, right? But this was after I was doing that. And I think I was on Twitter for like some stupid reason, I don't know, I was just looking. And who was it? Was it Kevin Carr, I think, mentioned that he was like, okay, I just finished watching this movie. Maybe I'll watch The Following on Insta Netflix. And I said, excuse me? The Following is on Netflix? Really? And this was, mind you, at about 12 o'clock.
No, it's a short movie.
It was about 12:30. Yes, it is very short, thankfully,
for
me. It
was 70 minutes.
Yes, about that. So I definitely... I got up, I drank another cup of coffee, and I watched a movie straight through until about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. The movie, I mean, it's shot extremely cheaply. It strikes me as if this wasn't really a movie meant for circulation. It was more kind of like Pi, in that it was really just a thesis for a class. But this movie, I mean, it's not perfectly done, because it's his first film. He clearly is, it's kind of like a practice run for what he's doing now. But it has all the elements of a great film. It has a story, well, not necessarily a story, but a setup and a situation that is really quite off the beaten path. It still has... it still does what he does in all of his films, which is he kind of either starts off or has some sort of premise that is
misdirection,
weird, but really and truly, once you get past that and once you accept that situation, it's very much a classic, or it's not very odd after that. It's very much a classic sort of storyline with a few twists, of course, and this one was no exception. I think this movie has a fairly great twist at the end. It does very well with connecting you with this main character, who is, in my opinion, almost unconnectable. How can anybody see eye to eye with somebody who is almost obsessed with just following people and gets deeper and deeper into that situation? But somehow I was there with him, you know, and up until the very end.
I love that ending.
That movie is just it's something special.
I don't think it's his first movie. There's no way. No one. I can't be anybody's first movie. Only Gate? Really? No, Chris Nolan.
Auto confirm Amazon. Thank you. Okay, so now, you know what? I'm going to leave the big one for the last, like ridiculously last, because I have two more that I'm going to mention, and these are just TV shows. One, I watched all of Jekyll, which is something I was trying out. It's a British show about Jekyll and Hyde, or the like newer version of it. The main reason I watched it was because it was written by Stephen Moffat, who probably is best known for Doctor Who, but who was instrumental in writing and getting Sherlock out there. And I figured, you know, it's the same sort of deal as Sherlock.
Yeah.
It's the same guy as Sherlock, and Sherlock is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let me try it.
Am I the only one who thinks that Stephen Moffat is probably just hidden away in a dungeon at the bottom of the BBC and just told right by some dude every morning?
I can see that, and if that is the case, I'm okay with
go
that.
Go to our BBC. Sometimes you just have to do what you have to do.
Exactly. I mean, you know, omelets and breaking eggs, there's something there. But anyway,
as long as I'm entertained.
Exactly.
Whatever they need to do, kill babies, strangle puppies,
yeah.
Not my problem.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, this show was not that good. I still, though, it's a 6-episode show, each an hour long, and I still watch all of it. It's not as if, you know, I couldn't watch it. And I don't want to say that it's bad. It didn't live up to my expectations based on Sherlock. I kind of put Doctor Who out of my mind because, even though I've never watched it, I did watch like the one from the 60s when I was really young. I've never watched a new one, and it could be the greatest show in the world.
The internet says that it is the best thing that has ever happened to TV.
I just can't
at any
it.
Point.
I just can't believe it. So
but
I'm
the internet is
to,
wrong, Douglas.
I'm still going to kind of.
I'll die in ignorance about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I'm willing to accept that. It's never going to happen.
But this show.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who has that thought.
This show was okay. I think that it was. Every time he turned into Jekyll, I kind of got a thrill, and that was fun. But overall, it was just a fair show.
Comparing it to the litany of garbage that has come out this year, is it better? what does it? Is it on that level, or is it better than the new terrible TV shows that we've been watching this year? Wow. That's not good. He has to think about it.
It's better, but
it's
you see, I'm going to say with a caveat. I think it's better because I kind of got into it, but I can see like you or anybody saying to me that after even the first episode that they never watch it again because it's just stupid and cheesy. So I'll say it's better. Just
yeah.
Maybe not necessarily everybody's cup of tea. That is that and that guy. And then I'm going to talk about one TV show. And I have nothing but great things to say about this show. And I'm just going to preface it with saying I've only watched 15 minutes out of the first episode. The show is called Better Off Ted. I have seen, like, you know, not trailers, but
promotional
content on the internet for this show. And every time I look at it, I say, but something about the poster just makes me not want to watch it. Then, one day I came home from work for lunch, and I turned on Amazon streaming, whatever service they call this thing now. And I realized that they have a section in the TV shows called Cancel Too Soon. And so I figured, well, if a show's got canceled, it's probably good, right?
Yeah.
So I look in the shows, and there are a bunch of good shows in there. The Office is in there, even though technically that wasn't cancelled. and so on and so forth. And then I came across this Better Off Ted business. And I just figured, you know, why not? This show is hilarious. It's about this, I guess, R&D department. And it's a comedy. And this guy, you know, he'll get directives from up on high that they've got this toxic material that they usually use in nuclear waste plants. But why don't you try and make a chair out of it? Or things like we want to test cryogenically freezing people. We don't really like your top scientist, so we can use him as the guinea pig, you know, and he just goes with it, and I don't think I'm giving it its justice, but the situations that sounds you know, the situations that just they came up with in only the first 15 minutes of the first episode was ridiculous.
So let me get this straight: this is a comedy,
yes,
where you laughed.
Yes, I did laugh.
Right. I'm on board. There's a few comedies circling our own.
Yeah,
with
but
no laughter.
But you and me both know that one of these comedies we're still watching, aren't we?
There's a couple of them that I'm still watching. Sadly. There's a couple of them that I keep watching them.
Yeah.
In hopes.
Yeah.
I wish they would cancel them so I'd stop wasting my time.
One question out there, since we're talking about shows that cancel and waste time such, did any one of us actually watch more than one episode of Luck? The Horace HBO show? Because now that it's cancelled and I have a finite number of episodes, I'm like, I could make it through that. And
who in God's name was going to watch that show?
HBO doesn't cancel shows generally.
Louis?
They take a long time.
Lucky Louis?
Yeah, like, Louis, but that show was really
three
bad.
Three horses though. Died during the shooting of the show.
What?
So,
wow.
So they decided they had to cancel it.
Okay.
Whoa.
Good work, guys.
But not to leave this episode on a downer, continue, Douglas, with what you were saying.
Okay, no, Andrew. We are about to get into a big downer because you and me are going to have words. Because
mm-hmm.
I watched.
Does Damien have any words to add to this?
I don't think
I know
he does,
exactly
but,
what this is.
But you, yeah,
nope.
you and me both know what we're talking about here. I watched Avengers this week.
Mm-hmm. The best Hulk movie to have ever come out, says the internet.
So, Avengers was a god fucking awful movie.
Ooh.
I'm just putting that out there. Now, this movie was bad.
Douglas, hold on.
Uh-huh.
Before you continue,
yeah.
I know Andrew's position because
yeah.
he has a website.
Yeah.
But I will be here representing the internet.
Okay. No, I know. I don't understand what is wrong with the internet.
I will represent the position of the internet, the general.
So hold on.
I won't respond the way the internet would respond to you,
mm-hmm.
basically calling you a faggot, because I'm better. But let me explain what has happened since this movie has come out. This movie is so good. this is not Damien talking, remember, this is the internet. This is the best superhero movie since The Dark Knight, and the only reason why it is not better than The Dark Knight is because it doesn't carry the emotional weight of The Dark Knight. But in every other way, it is a superior movie. It is superior in storytelling. It is superior in acting. Mark Ruffalo deserves an Oscar. Or two or three. The screenplay was tremendous, and the CG work puts Transformers to shame. So Douglas, let me tell you on behalf of the internet,
mm-hmm.
that you probably shouldn't go on any message board or read any emails after you're about to see what you say.
I stand by my position.
Before Douglas goes, first of all, internet, who I'm speaking to.
Yes.
Where's the porn?
Everywhere.
Secondly, I know anything I say about this movie won't be taken seriously by the two of you, because number one, Douglas has already decided I'm wrong, and since Damien, I'm guessing you haven't watched this movie yet,
right?
You're just going to read everything I say as Andrew loves Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm. No, Andrew, listen to me. I wanted to watch this movie before. Now that I know that Douglas hates it, I want to watch it even more now. I even think I'm watching it tomorrow. I don't care what happens. I'm watching this movie. I have to see this movie now, because this is the first negative thing I've heard about the movie, and it's coming from Douglas. Now I expect to enjoy the movie because it is dumb action. But if Douglas hates this movie, then something is inside of this movie that has triggered that reaction. Douglas doesn't just watch so-so action movies and comes out and go, this movie is shit. I expect that from Douglas. So there's something there, and I want to see it. I have to see it. Oh, shit.
This movie was a waste of my time.
It made $200 zillion.
Oh yes, it does.
I've heard that everybody except me.
Yeah,
any movie
Automarvel does that. That's de facto.
Those Hulk movies didn't make anybody.
Right, fair enough. So first off, I'd like to rebut Andrew's
review.
Oh no, not Andrew. It was you.
Right, the
internet.
Yes.
I'd like to rebut the internet's position. The first thing that I'm going to throw away is the CG. Any body with a fucking computer and a budget the size of Marvel can come up with
Disney.
CG.
You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. They spent $19,000 zillion on John Carter, so they have money. Remember, Disney owns Marvel, so they have a limitless well of money to throw at CG.
Can you imagine the collective sigh in Disney Corporation when Marvel came back with that check from the opening weekend? They're like, oh shit, we can keep the people who did John Carter.
People got fired.
You remember last year when Disney put out Lion King again and locked down number one spot for like 3 weeks on the box office? Things like that allow things like John Carter to happen. They were so busy counting their money that they forgot that there was some lunatic behind them spending back all of that money. Right? Only Disney can.
I'm trying so hard to make Douglas not talk about the Avengers.
Right.
So, okay.
Right.
The CG is good, and I'm not beating that down, but
they say Transformers
CG does not make a movie.
You've never seen Transformers?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Apparently you and I saw different Transformers. The internet saw different Transformers from I did. I know this much. So tell me again, what else were your
right? It is the best comic book movie since The Dark Knight.
Okay, I know that you, Damian, loved Thor, as did the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that Thor was... Would either you, Damian, or
the
X-Men, internet...
X-Men First Class came out after The Dark Knight. So that is the bar that we're aiming at here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better than X-Men First Class?
No, I'm not going to answer that question. Wait. I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to ask you a question instead.
Sure.
Do you think that Thor
came
anywhere close to being on par with The Dark Knight, since The Dark Knight is the bar that we are using?
You're asking the internet, or
I'm asking... I'd like to ask both, but first, before I hear the... before I get slapped,
right,
and hear the commotion from
Damian,
I would like to hear it from the internet.
The internet pretty much agrees that Thor wasn't as good as The Dark Knight.
Okay, fair enough. Now, how not as good was it? Was it a case of, let's say, the difference between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, or was it, say, the difference between The Dark Knight and, say, fucking Body Snatchers?
I can't answer for the internet, but I can answer as Damian. Thor is one Batman Begins away from... So a Batman Begins worth of goodness fits between Thor
fair enough.
And The Dark Knight.
No, here's my next question. If Marvel were to, say, come out with a Thor 2, a Thor Part 2, do you believe that...
They're re-thoring.
Yes, exactly. They're re-thoring. and so they come out with a Thor Part 2. Do you think that this... would be able to build upon the first Thor and manage to out Thor The Dark Knight?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
There's nothing to build on.
Okay. The Avengers is Thor Part 2. Now, you know already that I have major issues with that movie,
yes,
with Thor.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally Thor Part 2. They did not try to even make it different. Do you know who the villain is? Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Thor is in the movie as a part of the Avengers.
Of course.
Again.
But I hear that it's the best
hold up.
No, wait your turn.
Douglas and the internet is having a conversation.
Okay, Andrew. I agree, he is not in the movie very long, but he is in the movie. Okay.
So why didn't we complain about Iron Man because Nick Fury was in the movie?
There's no Nick Fury movie.
Because at least Iron Man was a good movie to start with. Avengers is not. So when you start with a bad movie, then you start talking about not only how bad it was, but how much worse it was because of the other bad things. But when you have a good movie, then, you know, maybe you can forgive
certain things. All right, Douglas, to appease Andrew, what were the things you enjoyed about the movie? As short a list as it is. Were there any performances that you particularly enjoyed?
No.
Mark Ruffalo was in it.
And, you know, that's a funny thing. I love Robert Downey Jr. He was in it. I love Mark Ruffalo.
Was Don Cheadle in it?
No, he was not. Another plus. Don Cheadle wasn't in this movie. That should give it at least 10 brownie points.
Chris Evans.
I don't like Chris Evans. I was about to say, shit. What's his name? Born Identity, Hurt Locker. Remember, what's his name again?
Jeremy Renner.
I love him. And none of these.
What about Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson was great to look at. Again, she's kind of
the great
Sam
Jackson.
She's gotten to a stage where she's not quite so round anymore. She's very. Very, you know.
Was Sam Rockwell in the movie anywhere?
No, he was
not. God damn it.
This movie was so bad. The acting really, I mean, I guess I understand, right? You come on a set and they tell you that this is not just a Marvel movie.
This is not
even the Marvel movie. This is all the Marvel movies put together. We're probably not even going to film anywhere in the real world. We're probably just going to go out into space because there's so many green screens that's how big you need the studio to be. So, you know, I understand why some top class actors would come on stage onto this set and say, you know what, I'm just going to get my check and not really act that well. But that's what happened. There was no acting in this movie at all. No good acting, really. But that's fine because it really is supposed to be an action movie. I'm cool with that.
Was the action good?
The action was so-so.
Okay.
Every once in a while. The only thing that I did like about this movie, and it was one thing, was every 15, 20 minutes, maybe longer, there will be one throwaway line that was kind of funny. And, you know, you'd giggle, you'd chuckle, and then you'd forget for a second that this was a really bad movie. But right. Then the movie would start again.
All right, the internet is tired of your banter. Andrew Robinson.
No, I want to say one thing.
The internet is mediating this conversation.
That the best part of this movie, there was a best part
Hold on
the
to that.
The best part
stop.
Of this movie was when Chris Evans as Captain America looked straight into Hulk's eyes and said, he was giving orders to everybody. He was like, Iron Man, go over there. You, go over there. And he looks at Hulk and he says, Hulk, smash. And I thought that was hilarious.
Alright. Andrew Robinson, the internet would like to know what you disliked about Avengers.
That Douglas didn't like it.
And that's...
Alright, no, I'm joking. I'm joking. What did I dislike about the Avengers?
We know you love it.
Yeah, I did like it very much.
What did you not like or did not live up to your expectation?
I did feel that for the first like hour or so, it did take a while for everybody to come together. It was an enjoyable hour at times because they had a lot of inter-Avenger fighting. And that was kind of awesome. A lot of the banter, especially with Tony Stark, was kind of awesome. But it did take a while to get there, which I feel is a drawback to the film.
Douglas is not speaking with you. He said it took too long for the Avengers to become the Avengers.
Right.
And that is your only knock against the movie.
This is not a Nick Fury movie. It is not. There's Nick Fury doesn't even need to be in this movie. It could just be nameless general on the ship who happens to be telling everyone what to do. Because he is in the movie for approximately as long as he is in Iron Man 2.
Okay. And that annoyed you?
Do you know who else was in this movie?
Douglas?
Do you know who else was in this movie?
Douglas.
Robin Trebatsky.
Douglas. Wait a turn. Do not let me set the wrath of the internet on you.
Why am I watching this?
Relax. So you don't like the fact that Sam Jackson was wasted, or you don't like the fact that he was in the movie at all?
I just feel that it was a bit of a waste, not a waste, but a misdirect in the fact that they were building up all throughout these previous films, like, hey, we have Nick Fury and he's coming in Avengers and everyone's going to be together, and then they pretty much do nothing with him.
Okay. Alright. So that Damon is clear. You enjoyed what works out to be about 6 funny lines.
Oh, there.
And some okay action.
Well, you see, no, here's what I'm going to say about okay action. Because the movie was so bad.
No, we understand that, Doug.
It kind of got to the level where I was like, if I'm wasting my time on okay action, why don't I just watch a good action movie?
Okay.
So basically what you're saying is at some point in the movie you just checked out.
Hold on. Before I answer that question, I need to figure out if there's a trick there. It sounds like I'm about to get myself into a trap.
No. Because I've admitted to certain things like that before, like in a film, let's say a Transformers 2. I just literally got to a point where I'm like, okay, this movie is horrendous. I just am not going to like this movie. It's going to be going for another hour and a half. Christ, let's see if this has any chance. And you just literally check out.
Andrew Robinson, thank you. Douglas, this is Damian speaking to Douglas. Batman is to Dark Knight as Avengers is to Transformers. Is that a yes or a no? Is that what I'm looking at?
I think
is that the road that I'm going down?
I think that yes, except I would say that the space between Batman and the Dark Knight is a lot closer than Avengers to Transformers.
Okay.
Part of me
feels it's not Transformers 1 to Transformers 2 type of nonsense. It's more Transformers 1 to Transformers 3. Alright, fine.
Perhaps, yes.
Alright, fine. This is good. I can't wait. This is going to be the greatest movie ever.
Question I have, Damien, to you.
Holy shit.
Damien, to you, as being the only person who is yet to watch this movie.
In the world, it seems.
Listening to the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you hope to side with?
I always hope to side with you.
The person who likes a movie.
Right.
Yeah, you always want to like a movie.
I would like to not go in there and sit for, this is going to be a 2-hour movie. There's
2.5.
In my mind. Holy shit.
Yeah. It's
so, right, if the movie's Transformers type nonsense for 2.5 hours, I'll be more than disappointed. I'll be angry because I expect Joss Whedon to find some way to make an enjoyable movie.
Sorry.
The internet agrees with you, Andrew. But they agree so hard that I'm afraid that what happened with the first Iron Man is happening again with Avengers, where there was nothing that came out until Iron Man. And everybody was so excited to finally be able to go back to the theaters to watch anything worth watching, that Iron Man got showered praise that it did not deserve. Now, I enjoyed Iron Man, but people treated Iron Man like it was the second coming of movies. That is what I'm seeing happening with the Avengers.
You see, herein lies the thing, Damien. I see that opinion out there, and I disagree with it wholeheartedly. I'm not calling this movie the second coming of movies. I'm not calling it the rebirth of comic book movies. I'm not calling it the greatest thing since Batman. I see it as a ridiculously fun movie. I like the contrast of the Avengers to the Dark Knight, in the sense that the Dark Knight, while it is a great comic book movie, it is a ridiculously grounded comic book movie. The Avengers is not that. And at the same time, the Avengers isn't so out there that I'd call it a Scott Pilgrim or a Kick-Ass. The Avengers is its own brand of fun comic book Marvel movie. And I love it for that. There are so many things to do with the script, to do with the way the characters interact, that is so Joss Whedon, and I love it for that.
What was that word that you just used? Was that word characters? They had those in this movie?
Internet, I need you.
Let's not be petty.
I gave Douglas his Douglas, space, and let him shit on the movie.
Calm down.
20 minutes.
By next week we'll have rectified this whole position. Part of me want to be on Douglas' side, just to be able to laugh at Andrew, but I really want to like the Avengers.
I want another dumb action movie.
And I have to admit
that
I want a Spider-Man 2. That's what I want from Avengers. Can you give me I do not expect X-Men First Class. I expect Spider-Man 2. A spectacle that is fun to watch over and over again.
I think you're going to end up getting something closer to a Spider-Man 3.
No, Douglas. Do not say things like that.
You're just being ridiculously mean. Anyways, guys, let's move on from this. Right. Damien, you can come back next week and let us know where you fall on this.
All right.
You know, give the final thump vote to Avengers.
Damien, what have you been watching?
To say, based on everything that I've seen and heard, that I'll be falling on your side, Andrew Robinson.
Oh, thank you.
And the side of the internet. I think Douglas may have been working too hard this week, and this has affected his ability to enjoy stupid nonsense. So I sat down this week, and I watched a David Cronenberg movie. We all love David Cronenberg. He made a movie with our friend Jude Law a while back called Existence.
I saw that movie when I was at Campion, and I hated that movie.
Lord, that movie is so bad.
Which movie is this? Existence?
Existence, right.
Which I don't remember this. I seen it before? What's it about?
If you saw it, you'd remember. It's about this fake game world that Jude Law has inhabited, and they're playing in the world, they're playing a game. What it is, imagine Inception. But instead of a dream world, it is a game world. And instead of a story, there is no story. And instead of good acting, there is no acting.
I just like to ask Andrew, why is it that I was not allowed to talk like this about Avengers, but Damien is just giving carte blanche here?
Wait. Because you haven't seen Existence.
First of all, I was about to tell Damien that he was just taking your stance on Avengers.
No.
But you cut me. You beat me to it.
No. This movie is... it is horrendous, but not for the reasons that movies are usually bad. That is the thing. Right? David Cronenberg tried to make Inception about 12 years too early, and it is god awful. Holy shit, this movie is bad. It doesn't make sense, and they try to play off the fact that it doesn't make sense by saying, you know, it's... is it a game? Is it not a game?
Do they know how to spell the word Existence?
That is done on purpose. Douglas Robinson, the movie is, it is beyond stupid. What's that? The Matrix looks like Child's Play.
I actually even remember when I did see it. I borrowed a DVD from, I think it was Patrick. And on the DVD it said the answer to the Matrix.
Yeah. So this movie is.
Oh my god! What a cast!
Yes.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, Ian Holm.
Well, I wouldn't mention Jennifer Jason Leigh because she's not done anything.
No. Okay. I have to admit. All right, I'm going to admit here now.
Ian Holm is Bilbo Baggins.
No, yeah.
William Dafoe is.
Ian Holm is much more than Bilbo Baggins.
He's Bilbo Baggins.
No.
He will forever be.
You know who he will be forever for me? Actually, I know he's much more than this, but for me, he will be the priest in Fifth Element.
Fine.
But hold on. Jennifer Jason Leigh. I just have to lay it out here. I'm going to always be biased towards her. Simply because she is amazing in The Hudsucker Proxy. Have you ever watched that movie? That is, I think that's the first Coen Brothers movie that I'd ever watched. And that is what got me into, eventually, after, because at first I just saw it and it was a movie and I was like, oh, it's so funny. But then, you know, after a while you get to be mature and you realize that you need to, you know, look up who did this and see if you want to do watch any more of their things. But it's a movie with Tim Robbins, where Tim Robbins comes from this little town.
No, about the movie.
This movie is, it is fantastic. And she plays
mentions
like
her Pulitzer.
Yes, on many occasions. Oh boy. And I mean, it's just great. And she's great in it, and I will never see her as anything other than that.
Fine. So you have a good point of reference with her. I do not. And definitely after, look, if I had seen this movie before any of the other Cronenberg movies, and I've never watched anything from it. That's not bad. This movie actually made me question whether or not he had ever made a good movie. That is how bad this movie is.
So when your mind goes back to remembering watching Dead Ringers,
no, that is the thing. I literally had to go, no, Damien, he's made good movies. You've seen good movies from him. Eastern Promises, David. Stop and think.
Eastern Promises is awesome.
Holy shit, that movie's good.
That and part one.
History of Violence.
I don't know why I think of them that way, but I do. I really do.
It makes sense. I understand your logic. Oh my god. The movie is. It is really awful. I don't know how else to. I mean, and there's nothing that I can compare it to, because it is a special type of bad. It is just so weird and stupid and bad. So I saw that. I saw another terrible, terrible movie. But this is one of those terrible movies that I feel sick within myself for enjoying. Matt G put out another travesty this year, called This Means War.
Yes, I have that ready and waiting. I haven't started.
Tom Hardy is in it. Chris Pine is in it. And two ugly women.
Two?
Chelsea
one?
Handler is in it.
Oh, okay.
And Reese Witherspoon.
I thought you liked Chelsea Handler.
I like both of them, but they're not pretty. Not anymore. I don't know if Chelsea Handler was ever pretty.
Well, I wasn't
Reese
talking
Witherspoon
about looks.
Reese Witherspoon is.
She's not
she was.
Pretty anymore?
She was. It's.
Have I just not seen her in anything recently because of my hatred for her otherwise?
Probably.
That I have not seen her
so,
age.
So hold on. Maybe I missed out. Maybe my ears just closed up for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say you actually enjoyed this movie?
I did.
I enjoyed it as well. I just wanted to make sure before I said it.
I don't want to do. I really don't. This movie feels like. Another Rush Hour movie. No, not not three. You know, when the first Oshawa came out, and you enjoyed it because it was kind of dumb.
But the thing is, right?
But it's still kind of fun.
I love the first Oshawa.
Right.
I even like the second Oshawa because at the time, you know.
At the third Oshawa doesn't come.
I remember watching it, and I was actually in this room watching it with Andrew.
I went to
Andrew
care.
Was here.
And tears came out of my eyes.
And I'm pretty sure, Andrew, do you remember how long we lasted?
Which film? Rush Hour?
Rush Hour
3. I remember it being in France. I don't remember anything else.
I think
am I right about that?
Yes. Yes, you're right about
that. But Andrew, we sat here in this room and we were watching it on the TV, and I'm pretty sure after about 10 minutes, we just turned it off. And I don't know if it is that that the terror that I experienced in while watching that movie just turned off immediately the nostalgia goggles, or if it changed something within me, or if it is just that the first two were bad movies to begin with. But even now when I see the first one on TV and I start watching, and you know, you get that fuzzy feeling like, oh, I used to love this movie, and then you watch it and there is no Condor Man effect, there is no Mighty Ducks effect. It is just, these movies are hard.
Is this, that is the same thing that happened to me with the X-Men movies. When he destroyed X-Men, I couldn't watch the first two X-Men for a while. It was until First Class came out that I went back and watched the first two X-Men. I went, oh right, I love these. I remember these weren't terrible. While watching the movie, you're actively telling yourself, right? Your film critic hat comes on and he goes, and you go, none of this is clever. Most of this isn't funny. But Tom Hardy and Chris Pine are so enjoyable to watch on screen. You go, all right, I'll keep watching this. And Reese Witherspoon comes on and you go, she's not pretty enough for two men. This is, Chelsea Handler has some funny lines, and the movie is so formulaic that you want every second, every minute of, you go, this movie is very formulaic and it's not doing the best job at it. But you still watch it, and at the end of the movie you feel dirty. Because you feel like watching it again. Yeah.
Can I tell you? I think I'm not going to like this movie for the exact reason that you like this movie. Because you see, right now, before I've seen the movie, you kind of see that in the trailer. That's what this movie is going to be like. I know already that I like those kind of movies. This is that kind of movie. I think, though, that I'm going to go into it and something's going to happen. Like, there's going to be a Thor or an Avenger. and it's
don't
it's
don't
like,
don't worry, Douglas. Joss Whedon didn't direct it.
Oh, you're talking it up. Okay. At this point, I mean, I feel like I'm going to go into that movie thinking that I like it and being sorely disappointed.
The way how I felt
it is still
movie,
a Matt G. What you need to remember, still a Matt G movie.
You're completely
Mick G
right
or whatever
about
he calls himself,
Damien. But the one thing that I kind of compared it to with that kind of feeling was me watching Friends with Benefits, in that there's so many cliches about it and the way it works out.
Yes, like,
but there's stuff that you latch on to. There's that relationship, that buddy relationship in the film that just is so good. I want to say, I can't believe, why are people still casting Till Schweiger and making him horrible?
Who's Till Schweiger?
I'm sorry, sir.
The guy who was in Inglourious Basterds.
Yes.
The
Nazi. He plays the Nazi guy in every movie that he's ever, and he has a mess of face.
Oh, him. Okay.
Right.
The loquacious type.
And he's always awesome. Alright, speaking of movies that the nostalgia has rubbed off on,
yeah.
I took money that I worked for.
Oh boy, this sounds like a horror story. Please
and
continue.
I paid for a Sylvester Stallone movie.
You paid for one?
Yes.
Hold on. I want to take bets.
Right. It is a 90s Sylvester Stallone movie, which narrows it down.
Is it Contra?
No.
Alright,
there's no Contra.
Cobra. Wow.
And I already own that. That is the 80s, and that is terrific.
Okay, my guess is what is it? Stop or my mom will shoot.
Incorrect.
Over the top.
No. I'm going to narrow it down further. Wesley Snipes is in this movie.
Oh my God, Demolition Man. Yes. I actually owned that movie for the longest while.
I
used to love that movie.
Douglas Robinson, whatever you do.
That was the first movie that I ever watched Sandra
Bullock
in, and I
Douglas
thought
Robinson,
she was fantastic.
Whatever you do, do not watch that movie.
No, I have to know.
Douglas Robinson.
I have to know.
I believe that might have been the first R-rated film I saw.
Let me be clear. Let me be clear to everybody. I'm speaking to the internet now. Please.
You have to say Simon Says.
Dear Lord, don't watch this movie.
You know who else is in that movie? Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary is in the movie.
I love Dennis Leary.
He's
hilarious. I mean, not
guys,
this movie, but
generally. Guys, this movie, it is bad. and not the good kind of bad. Like, it is really bad, guys. I wanted to come here and go, you know, yeah, we know the movie is bad, but there's still something fun that you know. Not even the glory of Blu-rays. it's so bad. There is everything in this movie is terrible. And they changed something on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
In the movie that you watched, what was the franchise that won the franchise war?
Taco Bell,
wasn't it?
Yeah, Taco Bell.
Yeah,
they
Taco
have
Bell.
Changed that.
Really?
What have they changed it to?
Because Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Pizza Hut are now one large conglomerate. Pizza Hut is now the franchise that won the franchise wars in the movie.
Did they change anything about the restaurant scene itself? Like the
no,
food they're eating?
No, they changed the sign and they dub the people saying Pizza
Hut.
Oh
my goodness.
No,
that's amazing.
What the fuck?
That is the mere fact that Pizza Hut thinks that anybody cares.
I'm actually amazed that we remember this.
This movie's trash. I know I should watch it. Right. I saw some other movies. Let me just quickly go through them. I saw Hugo, finally. Hugo is terrific. Everything that anyone has said about the movie is completely true. Scorsese is probably the best director we have working. I'd give it to him over Nolan at this point. That movie is... It's kind of too good. I can't believe that movie didn't win shit. That's kind of ridiculous, but whatever. What other movie did I see? Shit, I got my paper.
Apparently, it only happened for some non-American releases. So you got some shit dub right there.
Well, I'm not in America. that's pretty terrible. There is one other movie that I wanted to talk about that I cannot remember.
If we've gotten to this stage of talking
movie.
About Demolition Man,
yeah.
It's probably not worth it.
No, I just need to tell people that don't go back and watch them. Hugo is fantastic,
Hugo
but there's
awesome.
Nothing to
yeah.
say about that
yeah.
movie. That movie is great.
Have I talked about a movie yet? That movie's awesome. And I mean to care for no one, because I'm through with love. Why did you lead me to think you could care? You didn't need me, you had your share of slaves around you to hound you and sweat with deep emotion. Devotion to you.
Let's talk about Gangsta Squad.
Damien, what gangsta. Do you think of this trailer?
Los Angeles is a damsel in distress, and I need you to save her.
What happened to them?
They resisted.
This isn't a crime wave. It's enemy occupation.
I'll need men.
You are to make no arrests. This is off the books.
Who's the lucky guy?
I'm going after Mickey Cohen.
Doesn't seem right that he should have so much.
The name of the movie is Gangsta Squad, which they've lost points right out the gate. They do their best to recoup those points though, with a lot of actors that I like. The problem is that this trailer was cut to rap music, which the 30s, 40s, 50s era gangsters. That kind of dress and that motif doesn't really mesh well with Jay-Z. And Douglas put it best, this trailer is trying way too hard to impress. They have the actors, so they could have coasted on that. But you could see the effort that was put into the trailer. They're trying to sell you on this movie and trying to tell you that this movie is cool. Look at all the things that we're doing. Look at Sean Penn. Look at his acting. And you just go, alright guys, alright. The trailer wasn't very good, but there are enough people in this trailer that I like. I like Sean Penn. I like pretty much all of them. I love young Tommy Lee Jones. That is terrific. He's terrific.
I love that he is young Tommy Lee Jones. I think that's like the perfect choice.
That is the I've never seen better casting in my life.
I'm not looking forward to that movie, but that whole idea.
I don't know, the trailer felt off, but there's enough bias there that I'm still looking forward to it.
So Douglas? I agree with you 100%, okay. Damien. But the only thing that I'd add to that is, like, last week we talked about the trailer for Lawless, and right. I voiced a lot of concerns I had, and I kind of want to copy and paste a lot of those concerns to this trailer. Because I feel like how you're saying is trying really too hard. The only difference that I have is slight expectations. Because with Lawless, with it being a John Hillcoat movie, and I know exactly what to expect from John Hillcoat, this film is directed by Ruben Fleischer, the guy who gave us Zombieland and 30 Minutes or Less. And I'm just very interested to see what he produces now coming out of the zany comedy genre and coming to this gangster film. I think it might come off as being a little bit too cool. I mean, what beats anything other than that last shot in the trailer of them going through the movie theater screen shooting with the Tommy guns? But I'm tempering my reaction. I hope not to go in with too high expectations for this film.
I hope it's good, but I feel there's some trepidation there, and it's coming from the trailer. If someone had just told me, on the face of it, you know, there's this gangster movie, this 50s, this 40s, 50s era gangster movie with all these named actors that have gone, sign me up. About this trailer, to steal another quote from Douglas, it hurt more than it helped. So Douglas, you enjoyed this trailer, which I've been told by the internet.
I did not enjoy this trailer. This trailer was fairly bad. To quote Damon quoting me, it tried way too hard. I'm of two minds because I'm not sure if, I mean, as Damian says, it has the star power. I don't think Sean Penn alone did it for me, but once I saw Ryan Gosling, I was initially hooked, but I keep wondering if I really, you know, it's one thing to kind of sit here and say, well, you know, I love Ryan Gosling, let me go to the movie. And another thing, for the movie to come out here with no fanfare, and for me to decide whether I eat, sleep, or go to this movie. And more than likely, I'd probably just stay home and sleep. I don't know.
Because, I guess I don't care at this point. I had seen Drive before Drive came out. At Carib, and I still gave Carib my money to go to Drive again.
No, but Drive was a good movie.
Right. But
and Drive looked good from before.
Right. Now,
Drive's trailer was really good.
True. Now,
stop using logic, Douglas. Stop.
We won't see anything of this movie. So if it does come out here, and it has the star power now, so I'm pretty sure they'll have a big marketing push and they'll get it out here. I'm pretty sure that I'll.
Does this really have the star power to get out here? Who out here can even?
Gosling and it doesn't matter. Gosling and Emma Stone now have all the star power in the world.
You think Gosling has power here?
Not
Emma
Stone.
I agree, but Gosling?
Overseas, which means they'll push that movie to no end.
Can I say it feels really
and
weird
so come
to
out here.
It feels really weird to be looking at a movie with Emma Stone in it where she's not trying to be funny. I know that's horrible, but I don't know. I just always see her as the snarky teenager.
You're a weird person, Andrew.
I know I am.
Weird.
Might be why you talk to me, but I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably.
No.
but yeah, I might watch this movie, but really for all the wrong reasons.
What, do you like the actors?
Yeah.
Or is that the wrong reason?
No, just that.
We've watched movies for worse reasons than this.
Yeah,
you've watched movies because the soundtrack was good. On the trailer.
And on that note, let's talk
that
about
the poster
trailer.
Looked good.
And on that note, let's talk about the trailer for Wes Anderson's new movie coming out, Moonrise Kingdom.
Who's missing? Shukusky, you in there? Jiminy Cricket, he flew the coop.
Walt, where the hell are you?
Right here.
Does it concern you that your daughter has just run away from home?
That's a loaded question.
Till help arrives, I'm deputizing the little guy, the skinny one, and the boy with the patch on
Douglas.
His eye to come with me in the station
wagon.
What
did you think of this trailer?
I just want to
I'm
say...
I'm cutting off Douglas.
I just want to say that worked very well for some movies.
And it worked terribly for others.
But it's a hit and a miss, you know?
I think I'd bet... I'd rather bet on actors than on a poster and soundtracks. Pretty sure I'd prefer.
Anyway, so what are we talking about, Andrew? What's the name of this movie?
The reason we're about to be court-martialed. Remember that trailer
Kingdom.
That we didn't talk about last
Moonrise
week?
Moonrise Kingdom.
Because
okay,
we're
yes.
going to be shot on sight the next How did
yes.
we miss this trailer, guys?
What the hell happened?
What?
I can't even remember how I found it. I just
Holy
saw it online.
Shit.
And I had to send out the email immediately and just let everyone know that we're inadequate.
Failures.
I know exactly why we didn't talk about this trailer.
Oh. It sounds like Andrew knew about it but didn't like it. So
no,
like
that's not why. It came out in one of those periods where we weren't really recording, and I just kind of brushed over it at that point. I was like, oh, there are like 5,000 trailers we can talk about.
What?
And you
and,
found
and
better
you've,
trailers than
you've,
this?
You've made us watch all of these shitty trailers that we've watched over the past few podcasts instead of this one? Andrew.
Pretty much.
Andrew.
I think the cold breeze over there, man.
Anyways, we're here now, and we're talking about Moonrise Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Douglas, what did you think about the soundtrack for the trailer?
Fuck you. Cheap shots.
This trailer was really good. Well,
it's good.
No, it was really good. You see, the thing is, I had to stop there for a moment because I had to kind of, because as I said it, I was adding up all the things that pandered directly to me, right? And then I started to question myself. Is it that it is just pandering to me and that's why I love it? Because as it was a really cheap shot, a really low blow intro. But there was a good soundtrack in the trailer.
I know there was.
There is great star power in this movie. Not only great star power, but it somehow not only Wes Anderson somehow not only got to his regular crowd, but he brought in Bruce Willis.
Edward Norton.
Where? He brought in Tilda Swinton. Oh, where is he getting these people from?
He got what's his face to do the voice of a fox the last time.
So George Clooney.
Clearly everybody. No one is beyond his reach at this point.
So this movie, I mean, it's ticked the soundtrack box, it's ticked the actor box. It's ticked the Wes Anderson box. Yes, there is a box for Wes Anderson. And it's also ticked the box for really odd and awkward indie-looking scenes. But all that aside, the scenes that you see in this trailer are classic Wes Anderson and really good-looking. And that's the thing that this guy has been able to accomplish consistently. That no matter how good or bad you think that his movies are, he always has an eye for the scene and an eye for what makes a shot beautiful. Even if it is the stupidest thing in the world as far as you're concerned, it will always be the most beautiful, stupidest thing in the world. And on that basis, I don't think that there is any way that he could ever have a bad trailer. And this definitely was not a bad trailer. It was astounding. And I'm definitely going to watch this movie whenever it comes out.
So I remember a couple of years back when Fantastic Mr. Fox came out. Damien spoke about it. And he made an admission when he was talking about that film. In that, if I remember correctly, you weren't a big fan of Wes Anderson's films.
No, I was not. Not until that point.
You claim that you just couldn't believe in his characters, in his films.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I took on to this trailer was that it sold me because I liked Wes Anderson films. And I'm pretty much 50-50 on his films sometimes, but the hope is that I hope it's on the good side of Wes Anderson, to the Royal Tenenbaum side of Wes Anderson. What is your take on this trailer? Because I feel it's just, as Douglas said, typical Wes Anderson.
This trailer was so good and got me so excited that the first time I saw it, I went, if someone told me that Terry Gilliam made this movie, I wouldn't have doubted them for a second. The problem I had with Wes Anderson's movies is that the characters that he created in the movies, he tried to ground them in Wes Anderson reality, which is a mixture of our reality and his reality, and they came off kind of fake. It felt like they felt out of place even in the world that he created. But with the Fantastic Mr. Fox, because the world was, sorry for the pun, so fantastical, everything felt right. Nothing felt out of place. And that's the same vibe I get from watching this trailer. He created an entire world. He didn't try to put this into his characters into my world. He just went, you know what? I'm just going to come up with an entirely new world where this young man can dig a hole into a tent and escape with this girl, and Ed Norton can be it is so ridiculous. that you cannot do anything but smile and enjoy. It is terrific.
Nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone. Boop-boop-be-doo. I wanna be kissed by you, just you. Nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you alone. I couldn't aspire.
Bad people who should suffer.
So this week I kind of wanted us all to take a look at this film Kill List.
Not Tyrannosaur, a movie that everybody won, has been falling over themselves for, that came out of England last year. You said no, not the good one. It's fine. A far inferior movie.
Well, I kind of thought this movie would bring a lot better conversation, because Tyrannosaur, I think, is one of those movies that people are falling over themselves. While Kill List is just a huge argument all over the internet with people saying I love it and I hate it. And okay. I wanted to see where we fell on it.
Alright. Lars von Trier directed this, right?
Nope, it's by Ben Wheatley.
Oh, never mind. Alright, let's start all over. Alright, this week you wanted us to watch.
I wanted us to talk about Kill List. I believe first film from director Ben Wheatley. It stars people, person I don't know, and person I do know who was in Spaced as Tyles.
I remember thinking, I know this guy. I've seen him in a bunch of movies. He's actually in a lot of other movies as well, but I never made the connection with Spaced.
I don't know why, but I don't know about you guys, but whenever I'm seeing movies and I see an actor who I haven't seen him like every year, like a Ryan Gosling or something, like I always hear the voice first, and that always clicks with me first. And for a long time in this movie, I was going like, is it that I'm just hearing an Irish voice and I'm just guessing? But after a while, I figured it and it clicked. But that has nothing to do with the movie. Why am I talking about this? This film
because
is about...
it's one of the very few good things that you could talk about, probably.
This film is about two individuals, two best friends who are taking on this contract to kill four individuals throughout the film. And it takes us to a special ending, which I think we'll end up talking about eventually when we call spoilers.
Oh no, we have to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll call spoilers and we'll get to that. So kind of hold off on that for a moment, Douglas.
No, okay.
Alright.
You can go in the movie now.
I have to say that I was quite drawn in by this film from its opening, with just this guy coming home to an argument with his wife over money, and he's shouting at her about how he thought there was so much money in the bank account just 5 months ago or 8 months ago or whatever, and he's playing with his child complaining over spending £5 on a little toy with his wife. And then eventually we cut to a dinner party of him and his friend, and it is like one of the most nerve-ending homes to be in. Like, I was questioning why these people are together. I don't know if you guys ever thought about that. What are your thoughts on how this film opened, Douglas? I'm afraid to ask Damien.
You should be. Okay, so...
I like this.
You know... this movie, I'm just going to come up front and say this. I do not like this movie. However, that said, this movie started off pretty normal, pretty okay, pretty decent actually. As you said, you know, it started off with this guy arguing with his wife, and then went to the dinner party, and then this guy argued with his wife. I didn't quite get to that stage where I was thinking that they really shouldn't be together. I mean, that was some crazy ass arguing, to tell you the truth. But it just seemed as if, you know, one of those up and down relationships that are so storied in the media, in the cinema. But yeah, Andrew's just turned off his screen, right? Andrew, you're there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
I thought so. Yeah, Damon was worried for a second. So yeah, it just seemed like a regular relationship, or maybe just a quite exciting one. So that wasn't really a big deal for me. And actually, I thought that for the first the first act of the movie was fairly decent. I liked the way that it kept revealing slowly but surely what this guy was. You know, you during the dinner party you find out that he's ex-military, and so is his wife. Then, you know, you get a glimpse of an automatic machine gun in his garage, and you kind of think to yourself, ex-military, but regular people don't have that kind of artillery, right?
Not in Britain, they don't.
Yeah, exactly. Especially not in Britain. And you wonder to yourself, what kind of a person, how did he get that? And I actually thought to myself, because, okay, to tell you the truth, my TV's audio is kind of bad. I don't want to say bad, but not great. It's a TV speaker, right? and I guess the sound mixing is not great, and that mixed with very heavy accents doesn't do well for understanding words in this movie.
Oh, don't worry, so Douglas. I rewound a lot watching this movie.
So,
as the Lord invented subtitles.
I know, right? So there was one point where I actually thought he said that he was holding it for somebody, and I was like, okay, fine, maybe it's some sort of word relationship thing. And then you kind of realize that actually this man and his so-called best friends are contract killers. And then I think it really hits full on when a little bit later you realize that not only are they contract killers, but this guy, his wife actually knows about it, approves of it, and
she's ex-military.
Yeah, well,
she's,
you know,
go get him, Tiger.
So, I thought that that was actually pretty damn good. The way that that whole situation was revealed, and the more I talk about it, the more I like that. And the truth of the matter is that this movie, a lot of this movie, is really good.
Up to a point.
I think that the director is, I think the director went a little bit too far with the mood that he was, that they were trying to set, because that fucking soundtrack.
overbearing, it might be too weak a word.
Yeah. I mean, it was, as you say, I mean, words like heavy-handed come to mind. you
the
know,
opposite of subtle.
Yes. there are overwhelming silences at some points, and then there's just overwhelming at other points. So there is that. Also, the situation that these guys get themselves into, which, I mean, up to that point, you know, when they're now getting their contract, that is apparently this guy's first big contract since some mess up in, I can't remember the country right now. So up to that point, you know, it's a fairly decent movie. More than fairly decent. It's a good movie up to that point.
And even after that point, as they kind of go from tone to tone, I guess you could say, which is kind of where you, within that period, you kind of get the full on reveal of, oh my god, the wife's in on this. And that's, I think that's really good. From here, things get a little bit dicey.
I think you should speak further without calling spoilers.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way to really talk about it, but let's just say that
the director
things go sideways very quickly, and I don't appreciate.
So Damien, you kind of alluded to siding with Douglas a little bit,
right? No, so for the first hour of this movie, I was on board. The movie was a little bit formulaic in how it explained that these guys were contract killers, but it was still good. It was good. It was a good movie. The build-up was nice and slow. They weren't rushing through anything, and you got a real sense for who these people were. And even after they got the job, you saw, you know, how he and the friend dealt with certain situations. For example, they were in this restaurant, and some dirty hippies were singing all sorts of songs, and they went over there. And they put a stop to it, which was tremendous.
I like how they had a strategic 1-2 punch to that situation, so that they got it done and they didn't have much backlash to deal with.
Alright. Plus, they're dirty hippies. What kind of backlash could they? What to do? Home you to them?
No, the hotel management and such.
It was fun and really engaging, but then the director or the writer decided we're going to go down this road, but what we're not going to do is explain any of it. And that is where 1 hour of good movie was derailed almost completely by the final act of said movie,
which just happens,
right? No, that is the flaw with the.
I think that you could get there,
Douglas.
Know?
You can absolutely get there,
but
you need to do one thing. You have to explain how you get from point. You don't
you don't just transport yourself from A to B. It doesn't happen.
The people who enjoy this show, from what I've read on the internet, are sick people who just enjoyed how the movie ended. They don't care how it got there. They just like the fact that the movie ended how it ended, and for that they went, the director is brave and all the other nonsense that people talk about when they try to explain away why they like crazy shit in movies. And then there's people on the other side who completely hate the movie for the same reason. The ending, they had such a adverse reaction to it that they said the entire movie is garbage because how the movie ends. Me and you were on pretty much the same page, and I'm pretty sure Andrew's on the same page. For the first hour, that hour build up was terrific, and the first couple of kills, it's called kill list, they kill people. The first couple of kills, you went, okay, I see why all this setup in the beginning was okay. I kind of took issue, which was justifiable at the end of the movie, with the fact that they pointed out that the wife was also in the military and she had guns and whatever. The second they pointed that out, because I've seen so many of these movies, I went, alright, this is only being said so that at the end of the movie you'll see her badassery. It will have to be called into play at some point. It's the only reason they would have made her be this character.
Damien, I saw mm-hmm. that, and I didn't really take it that way. I saw it as an excuse for the early abusive tone in the relationship to be slightly okay.
Wow. I just want to chime in before anybody says anything, because I think what's really interesting is that we three had three completely different views of right. that reveal. So you say the badassery is coming.
Right.
Andrew
Something
says,
is going to happen.
Andrew
in the
says
end.
That the fighting is now justified.
Right.
When I saw that, I said to myself, you know, why would they do that? And then when they revealed that she was a part of the killing, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
You know, so all three, we
no,
all have
I saw that part too, you know. When they revealed that she knew, I went, well, yeah, of course, she's military.
Yeah.
So I guess he found a kindred spirit. But in all these movies, whenever the partner is has military training or car, at the end of the movie, or somewhere down the line,
mm-hmm.
she'll be calling to either save or some such madness, right? And the movie was they went through such lengths, and they took their time with the first two acts of the movie,
and
then they threw
perfect.
All of that goodwill right down the drain by going down this road, which was fine. They could have gone down that road, and But there is no explanation as to how and why they got to this point.
So Andrew, before we veer off into
spoiler territory,
do you have anything to say about generally about this movie?
I have to say I agree with the two of you guys. The one thing you guys didn't seem to really mention or specifically talk about, which I particularly loved about the first two acts of this film, before we got to the throwing off the rails end of the film, was the progression that the main character went through while on this mission. I'm trying to remember exactly what his name was. Is it Jav? Where we saw the same abusive tone that we saw in the home in the opening scene slowly come out while he's on this mission in the kills. And while they did try to justify his added enthusiasm throughout those kills, it showed that this was not going to end well when we went further on.
Yeah, of course. Not only that, I mean, you could see that really what it was that he was a little bit obsessive about it. He got too deep into his work, let's say,
yeah.
and
over-enthusiastic.
Made it personal, or not even really personal, but made it... He became a psychopath, almost.
And
one thing I want to point out is that they... actually made sure they kind of put the stamp down when they said, listen, this is not the first time this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did some shit that went awry in whatever that country was. I can't remember.
Yemen.
Was it Yemen?
I don't remember.
But yeah, so he was definitely from the get-go pegged as...
a wild card.
Yeah, not quite so stable.
One question to you guys. This question might really be better saved for the spoiler section. But there was one of the kills before we got to the end where he was basically torturing this guy, and the guy looked at him and said, "I know who you are. Thank you for doing this," and just kept getting tortured. Did they ever address that? Or not really.
That is where I think, okay, you see, the thing about it is, it's difficult, as you say and as Damien says, to speak to this properly without starting the spoiler section. But what I will say is that I believe that it is... I have a theory based on how this movie ends.
Douglas, if you feel you're about spoiling, just say so and we'll hold
on.
No, I'm not
going to spoil it. I'm just saying that I have a theory and I will share it with you later when we talk about spoilers.
Okay.
Based on the way that this movie ends, that kind of tries to explain what you just asked about.
Okay. So I'm guessing we're about to jump into spoilers. So before we get there, just as a general note, would you recommend this movie to anyone?
No.
Ditto.
We're all in agreement. No, I would not recommend this movie to anyone. Alright, guys.
Except us two. Except us. Which you did recommend.
Yes, except you.
Thanks. Thanks.
Anyways, anyone wanting to. Anyone who's seen the film, you can stick around and listen to our spoiler section. Otherwise, I don't know if you want to check. You want to stay around. So, anyways.
No, to tell you the truth, it really doesn't matter because you shouldn't be watching this movie anyway. So let's spoil it for you right now so that at least you don't have that sort of curiosity. You don't say to yourself, why did these guys say that this movie was so bad? Let's just tell you so that then you know not to watch it.
Look, right. Guys, I love this movie. I don't know.
All right, Douglas, you were saying you have a theory about my question.
Yeah. All right, so okay, just let's spoil everything. In the end, he kills his wife and child, right?
No, he kills the hunchback.
yeah, the hunchback.
can I just say, as a side note, from the moment that I saw the figure out there, I knew it was the wife and child.
Well, I have to say, you're better than me, because I didn't. But then maybe it was because that I was so dumbfounded. My brain had already exploded. I had kind of stopped thinking, because there were so many things that had happened that were just...
You were trying to piece together logic.
Yes.
While your brain was catching up, the movie was continuing to dream of madness. Yes.
The only question I had was if the wife... I mean, I know the answer is obvious because she was injured, but if the wife was really trying to kill him, if she would have.
Well, I think that she would if she was trying to save her child, but yeah, I agree. I don't know what was happening there. But yeah, so
anyways, your
if
theory.
You notice it, if you think back, right, even after that kill that you were talking about where he tortured the guy, or sorry, before, even in the first kill, and they made up made it certain to point it out, the priest that they killed, right when they kind of revealed themselves and pointed the gun and said, no, it's time to turn around, he gave a big smile, and I think he also said thank you.
Yes,
and
he
then
did.
Turned around and then they shot.
Yeah, he did.
So you
might be right about that, but I kind of took that, maybe I was going at face value at that point, going with
that point, you had to.
I agree. At the first, when I saw that, like, before seeing everything else, I took it at face value as well.
Yeah.
And I thought he was kind of saying, okay, thank you, I don't have to face this, or something
right.
like that. But after seeing the rest of the movie, I'm pretty sure that it was all linked, especially because of the way that this job kind of came into being.
Your brain is trying to make sense of this.
Yeah.
Which I commend you for. Because I have no theories as to what happened in this movie.
So I think that there are a few kind of thoughts going through my head, but I think probably the one that I think is most likely is that clearly this is the people that hired them and the people that they end up with in the end of the movie are part of some sort of cult or sect or something that, you know, does crazy sacrifice / odd ceremonial things. It's clear to me that this guy has been selected, and that selection happened when the old man slit his hand open, right? He was selected for something, some sort of, whether it is sacrifice or induction or just general fucking around with something, right? So he's selected for some purpose, and everything that happens after that point is fairly orchestrated so that he gets himself into the situation at the end. what I don't really understand is why at least two people would be willing to die for that. But that again, I don't think my mind is right, quite at that level in order to understand that. But so when you see what happens in the end, and when you see how the second person that they kill treats this guy, I kind of look back at the first kid and said, oh, that was just a more subtle version of this. So those two kills were connected in the sense that they were both connected to this cult, I think. I mean, I haven't looked on Wikipedia or whatever.
Why would you do that?
Okay, alright. You just...
No, because you're trying to make sense of this movie.
Alright, cool.
Which is commendable.
But hold on, let me at least...
But you're not making any sense.
Because this movie makes no sense. But let me at least get to the end point. So, I mean, it's clear from... Actually, it's kind of clear from the beginning that this girlfriend of this
Douglas
friend is odd and has something to do with
Douglas Robinson.
What?
If you are going to sit here and tell me that the movie in any way, shape or form explain that girlfriend character...
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Okay.
No, I was just saying that she was clearly a part of it.
Okay,
I don't know.
They show you that in the end.
Yeah, I know.
And even that weird,
and in the
that
beginning
weird
when
moment
she,
in the beginning where she etches in that thing in the mirror.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think that they've chosen this person to be like a their gladiator, you know? They want this end to happen. I don't know if it is, as I said, that... Once and I guess in one you can almost think of it in a twisted way as when he ends up killing his family, he has unencumbranced himself in a sense, so that if it is that it is an induction into this society, he goes in there with no baggage. He can be as freaky as he wants, if it's that kind of a cult, which it seems to be. Or whatever. If it is that they're just messing with the guy, well then, how better to mess with you than to get you to accidentally kill your wife and child? And if it is that, you know, what was the third thing that I was trying to say? I've confused myself. I know that there was a third option that I had. But this movie is the most illogical.
I wouldn't go that far.
Segmented is not the right word. Disjointed, thank you. And just it's film staccato is what this movie is. It starts out at point A, gets to point F, somehow moves to point E, and then all of a sudden gets to point Z, but there's no in between, and you have to, you're left alone and crying, filling the gaps, and it pained me at the end. Andrew, I'd just like you to recall that this was the first ever movie that moved me so thoroughly that I had to call you right after I finished the movie.
Yes, you did.
In order to complain. That's how bad this movie was.
But can I just say for a moment, regardless, before moving on to what I felt towards the ending, that if this movie can give this kind of reaction from you...
No, fuck that,
kind
that argument.
Of, that kind of analysis...
Fuck that argument. I've had that argument before. I used that argument, that same argument on Spike Lee's first movie. This movie does not apply. I know what happened in Spike Lee's movie. I still don't know what happened in this one. Say, Damien, please, take me out of my misery. Talk to me about this film.
Alright, Douglas I applaud your efforts to try and make sense of this movie. But you can't, because you weren't given sufficient. You can't solve a puzzle when you don't have the sufficient pieces. The movie does not explain who the cult is, why they have chosen him. They do not explain who the girlfriend is. They don't explain how, by killing these people, they have inadvertently triggered him to start shooting at the cult members. None of this is explained to us. And for that ending to make sense, yes, he was targeted because they had a girl scrape a mirror at the front. Fine. Why was he targeted is never explained. How they got him from that point to this point is also... A kill list isn't needed in order to have that ending. They could have just gone in, kidnapped the wife, taken him, blindfolded him, and have him fight the wife with this. They didn't need whatever that scene was towards the end with him shooting and wild people running at. None of that was necessary. And it was not explained, Douglas. So I don't understand why you're fighting to peace together this. Until you said that you had to call Andrew to complain about it, then I remembered the movie that we reviewed that I hated the most. Alright? Do you remember a certain movie about a young boy who had a nuclear explosion happen in a lake? You remember that?
I remember that.
Okay. The reaction you had to this movie is the reaction I had to that movie. So I can understand the feeling. I didn't remember that movie for obvious reasons, but I understand the feeling that you had. You want so badly for it to make sense that you demand that the person who forced you to watch the movie make sense of the movie for you. It has to make. There must be some. But the movie doesn't make. The last 30 minutes of this movie doesn't even approach sense. If they wanted to kill him, why get his friend involved? None of these things. How did they get the friend to fall in love with this crazy girl in the first? It doesn't work like that, Douglas. And the thing that annoys you the most is the fact that the first hour was such good setup. You thought that the movie was going somewhere. And so you're trying to fight with the fact that two-thirds of this movie makes sense. And then there is a gap. And then there's nonsense towards the end. With The Double Life of Verne, we saw that movie and we went, something is missing. But you're not sure where something is missing. But you know that something is. There's something there that you're not seeing. We know exactly where this movie went off the rails. There is no mystery. And what makes it worse is that it feels like they only went there so that they could have that shock ending. That is what it feels like. It feels like they had this ending in place and they went, we need some way to get this done. Because they even had the title screen, they had The Hunchback, right? So you felt like this was another one on the list or whatever. And then there's that big reveal and people clap and then the movie ends. Which we all, the second we saw that, we went, the movie is ending here. Because they want you to have they want you to have that feeling of, oh shit, I can't believe what I just saw and whatever. And people either love that because they're happy that a director was willing, like Dogtooth, the same reason people like that shitty movie, because they're happy that directors are willing to go this far or some such nonsense. And then there's other people who negate the fact that they had, it was a pretty decent movie because of that terrible ending, which you can't knock somebody for, because the movie that last 30 minutes is shambolic. But it doesn't make sense. And I have four movies that I am at present trying to make sense of. I don't have time.
So
I don't have time to make sense of that.
Seeing as we have both kind of decided that smooth is rubbish, I'd like to know, what are these formulas?
Double Like a Veronique and the Colors trilogy.
Okay.
I have to make sense of this movie. I cannot die knowing that these movies still don't make sense. I have to like
it.
It's supposed to be good.
Douglas, all these movies are from the same director. All of them are supposed to be timeless classics that you have to be an idiot not to like. So I've been told. Criterion has put them in their collection. Douglas, I bought these movies on Blu-ray. I have to find out what I am missing. Right? But with all those movies, I don't know what I'm missing. I can't pinpoint somewhere where I go, this movie's not making any sense. I'm just watching the movie kind of in a haze going, why is all of this I don't understand. Right? Is this general feeling of not being able to comprehend what is happening before you?
I want to put forward one sense of thinking towards film. Like I do applaud Douglas for his thoughts towards the ending and his attempts to piece together the film, because I don't think I got that far in trying to find a logical conclusion as to why everything happened. And it's kind of one of those things that I tend to do with films, is that I don't actively seek out why a lot. If a film presents a mystery to me, which it tries its best to leave pieces of the puzzle out, like how Damien says, especially because we're given a certain perspective to a story, I kind of surrender to that perspective. I admit that there are parts of the story I won't know. It's kind of like walking through your own life and if you were to complain, why didn't I know that the stock of that mark of that company was going to go up? I would have bought it. Of course you would have, but you weren't in the other person's story knowing that information. And that's kind of how I take the ending. I just go with it. He's going on this mission to do all of these kills, and based on how this character was acting progressively throughout this mission, he decided to go off the handle again and make an action which wasn't going to end well, which is to open fire on this group of individuals who obviously looked fucking crazy, and then they came after him, and what followed, which is why when like the hunchback came out, I immediately knew that was the wife and child. It made perfect sense to me that looking at that figure, that's what they were going to do to him. I didn't ask questions as to why they picked him. I definitely was confused about things, like, as I said, the opening when the girlfriend came in and etched in the marking behind her. I'm like, what the hell is that about? And stuff like that. But
that was pretty clear that was some sort of
I could have guessed what they were leading to, but
was it pretty clear?
No, it was, especially because it was the same symbol as what they had in the credits, in the opening credits.
Yeah.
Again, clear is the word that you want to use.
And in
clarity.
In that regard of surrendering to this story, I actually felt that
In what into the story?
Surrendering.
Well, surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
Not surrendering.
Sorry. It's late. It's late. I didn't want to fault the movie too much for being out there, because it was already going out there from the beginning. We like to say that it was grounded, but when you're talking about a story of contract killers going around and just killing random people who thank them for killing them, something is up somewhere, and it's going to go weird. I actually like the way Douglas put it, because then it kind of explains why he lives and Tyles dies, which I always questioned as to why they didn't kill the guy. other than to torture him through the wife battle. But weirdly enough, like when the particular end came with the hunchback kill, I didn't find myself that unnerved. Maybe because I wasn't surprised by it. Maybe it was because I surrendered to it. But I didn't find myself
as
shocked.
Maybe because it was stupid.
As shocked as I was expecting based on what the internet decided to tell me about this movie. Anyways, that's my little 2 cents. I definitely didn't love this movie, but I don't think I hated it as much as you guys seem to have.
Do you hate this movie?
Yeah, Andrew, I just want to say that I applaud you. I applaud you for not being shocked. And if Damien, if you were not shocked at the end,
not even a little bit.
Yeah, I applaud the both of you because we've said this before. My head was, I was still thinking, what's going on?
That makes sense.
And then I saw what he did, and I think I cried myself to sleep.
I mean, after watching Lars von Trier movies, I'm pretty prepared for anything.
But no, seriously, I mean, I really, really, even if you want to say it's simply on principle, I hate this movie. This movie is not good, and maybe I shouldn't hate it just for the last half an hour, but I mean, this movie starts off with being not good, and then it tops it off. It puts the icing on the cake with being a horrible, we're just setting me up for a great movie that turned out to be incomprehensible.
They went for the shock value at the end of the movie, and I'm sure the first time we screened it to people, there were people like us who went, the whole back half of this movie is gone. It's goddamn nonsense, and we see that you're going for the shock, and you might want to, you know, rethink some of this. But this is clearly his decision, and while I don't fault him for making the decision about how he ended the movie, I do fault him in how he got to that point. The direction or the screenwriting is clearly at fault, because no one can make sense of what happened.
Well, I wouldn't even say the direction. I mean,
what is that?
Because the acting is great.
I'm talking about
each scene.
His
looks
choice.
Great. But I suppose in terms
he
of when you
the
edit
movie,
it,
right.
Yeah, that is where I think this film went wrong.
It is a choice. It's not like the movie stumbled into this. It was clearly a choice that he made. I'm going down this path, and the movie is going to end like this. And I want people to have that kind of reaction. That is what he wanted, and that is what the internet gave him, clearly. Because that is what the internet is good for. But I cannot recommend this movie to anybody. Maybe the first hour, and then I don't know what you do.
So Damien, is this
you smile and wave at the end? I don't understand.
So is this a lack of recommendation in a Lars von Trier way, in that you wouldn't give this to anyone other than certain people?
No, yeah. I wouldn't recommend this movie to, not this entire movie, I'd recommend the first hour of this movie to anybody. I would not recommend this entire movie to anyone. I don't want anyone to watch this movie, because I think that the director, instead of trying to tell a proper story, he wanted the ending of this movie to be so divisive that he tried, I don't even know what he did, but the ending, he wanted that ending, that is what is clear, and he made mistakes getting there, and I don't think that the movie is good because of that.
So do you think that's any different from, like, for example, a director purposely making a ambiguous ending, like, say, Take Shelter?
No, I don't think it is any different. And that is why I'm able to say I would not recommend this movie to anybody. If it was a, like the Lars von Trier movies, and movies like, as I said before, Double Like of Veronique, I still don't like that movie. But I would recommend it to certain people, right? Because there's an expectation that they might see something there that I didn't see, right? Even a movie like Another Earth, I was well aware that there'd be people who would not like that movie, right? But I'd still recommend it to people. This movie, when you recommend it to somebody, what exactly are you recommending? You're recommending
tunnels and people with straw in their face.
You're recommending one of the worst endings to a movie we've ever seen.
No, I want you to understand. I'm being a bit of a devil's advocate right now, but
I understand, but I don't think that anybody I know would watch this movie and enjoy it, because I don't think. Well, first of all, it's not to be enjoyed. It's to shock you at the end.
If you enjoy this movie, please check yourself into a psychiatric ward.
I don't think that the movie earns it. They just switch over to what could have been a Saw movie. And I went from, this is a run-of-the-mill gangster movie with a pretty good setup, and now Saw 7.
I think you saw this movie. I would not say run-of-the-mill. I think
it was a pretty good setup.
It was a really good movie for the first hour.
I'm talking about the assassin portion of the movie. It's a straightforward movie about.
Oh, straightforward. Hitman. Oh, yeah. Right. All right, fair enough. Yeah.
But the setup was really good. I enjoyed it. And then, what's that? What's the director's name? I don't even know. Whatever. The movie's bad. Let's just not. None of us like it. There's crazy people on the internet that do. If you listen to those people, then you might like it. I doubt it though.
I guess that's pretty much it. So,
thanks for that, Andrew.
You're welcome. Very much.
So wanted to watch a movie like this.
I know you did. That's why.
Not a better movie.
Right.
Not Tyrannosaur.
So on that note, thanks for listening, and next week, I don't know what we're reviewing. We'll figure that out soon enough. But as I said, thanks for listening, and good night.